You have a brother in the heavenly business, Jesus Christ, real royal family. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can delve into your word and feed our spirits, nourish our spirits, so that we may grow to be stronger and to be more like you in every way and every day. And we pray that you will guide our thoughts and minds as we study to show ourselves approved. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 22, Amplified. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, outsiders without right of citizenship, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, that's God's people, and are members of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together, and it continues to increase, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, set apart, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. In him and in fellowship with one another, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now there's a lot of truth in these verses, and I just want to read them in the Message version as well. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Wow, so we can see that we are being lived in by God himself. Our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit, where God is quite at home, and that's quite an awesome thought. Our holy, perfect God is quite at home in us, because the blood of Jesus makes us holy and righteous. Now, there aren't very many royals in today's world. They're mostly democracies, although that isn't all over, but most countries have democracies. And the royal family that I know about the most is the one in the UK. And some people are really interested in them, and some people don't care continental hoot about them. But there might be some people that might think, hey, it would be so cool if I were friends with one of the princes or princesses or one of the ladies and all those aristocratic people who might be acquainted with the royal family. But there is another royal family that I am very interested in, and that is the holy royal family in heaven. And we are friends with this royal family. It says so in James 2:23. NKJV. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So you can see that our faith in God is where our righteousness comes from. And yeah, we are called friends of God. But not only are we friends with the royal family, the heavenly royal family, we are related. It says so in John 1, verse 12 to 13, LSV. But as many as received him, to them he gave authority to become sons of God, to those believing in his name, who were begotten not of blood, nor of will of flesh, nor of will of man, but of God. So we can see that every believer is born into God's family. And there's an interesting thought in the TPT translation of that same scripture, in John 1, 12-13, TPT. But those who embraced him and took hold of his name, he gave authority to become the children of God. He was not born by the joining of human parents, or from natural means, or by a man's desire, but he was born of God. So that one highlights the fact that Jesus himself is born of God. He is spoken of as the only begotten Son of the Father, and that was when he was the only one. Now we are born into God's family, and we are his brothers and sisters, and we are co-heirs with him. Another thought about Jesus being the only begotten Son of God is that we are adopted into God's family, And that gives us the right to call him Daddy or Abba, as the little Israeli boys and girls used to call their fathers. Now, if there's any doubt in your mind that I am talking about a royal family in heaven, listen to 1 Timothy 6:15, TPT. Yes, God will make his appearing in his own divine timing, for he is the exalted God, the only powerful one, the King over every king, and the Lord of power. Also in Revelation 17:14, TPT. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Those who are with him will also conquer them, and they are called chosen ones and faithful ones. Again in Revelations 19:16, TPT. On his robe and on his thigh he had inscribed a name, King of kings and Lord of lords. So whatever principalities or powers or demons are giving you a hard time, we are related to the Lord of all of those lords. And we are known as kings and priests. That's in Revelations 1 verse 6 in KJV. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. So you see, we are also part of the royal family, the heavenly royal family, because we are related to God, because we have been born into his family, because we believe in him, like I said in John 1:12. And the heavenly royal family isn't royal in name only. They have real authority, and they are really ruling and reigning. You can see that in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, TPT. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Why is there a lo in there? That lo just means pay attention. Listen to this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age as we know it. Is that the end of time? Well, God knows that. So we've established that we are God's friends, we are God's family, and I just want to share thoughts on being his temple and Jesus being the chief cornerstone. That's in Matthew 21, 42 to 44, TPT. Jesus said to them, Haven't you ever read the scripture that says, The very stone the builder rejected as flawed has now become the most important cornerstone. This was the Lord's plan. Isn't it marvelous to behold? This is why I say to you that the kingdom realm of God will be taken from you and given to a people who will bear its fruit. The one who comes against this stone will be broken, but the one on whom it falls will be pulverized. And so we have to be faithful in bearing fruit for God. We're not Christians just for fanfare or just for show. We are children of God to bear fruit and to make a difference in this world. We do that by shining our lights. And God is a God of love, but he also is a God of justice. And those who reject Jesus, they will suffer for it in the end. This is a direct quote from Psalm 118, verse 22 to 23 in KJV. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now, what is a cornerstone? Well, when you're building a house, you've got to dig the foundations first, obviously. And once you've built the foundations, then the part of the building that is above ground is the walls and the roof and the doors and the windows. But you have to start with one stone in the corner. Why in the corner? Because you have a building which is meant to be a square or a rectangle. And you want the corners to be at 90 degrees. You don't want skew corners. So you have a stone in the corner where you measure down the line with those strings with a pole stuck into the ground on the other end, and that gives you a straight line to build your bricks along. And then 90 degrees from that, you go up the other side and you put your string there and the little pole in the other side. And that string there also gives a straight line for the bricks to go along. And when you follow those lines, when you're building the bricks and the bricks that you're laying down, follow those lines, then you will have straight walls and you will have 90 degree corners and it will be a proper rectangular house, the way a house is meant to be. Obviously, I'm not talking about round structures. There are huts and other buildings that are round or hexagonal or pentagon or other shapes and not square or rectangular. That's another matter. I'm just talking about the square or rectangular shapes. I have seen a house just down the road from where I live where the people weren't careful enough with their measurements or something or other. I'm not quite sure what happened. The foundations were sitting there for many, many years and nothing was built on top simply because they were skew. And then somebody did eventually build on top of that foundation. And when you look at the tiles in the kitchen, you can see the edge against the wall is skew because the width of the tile goes a bit wider on the one side and narrower on the other side. So that wall is not true. It's not aligned. It's not at a proper 90 degree angle in the corner. So the cornerstone is the one that you measure from for the rest of the building. Because once you go from that one cornerstone and you follow the line down the one wall and follow the line down the other wall, that's when you get to the other corners, and from there you can measure again at 90 degrees to get to the last corner. But you've got to start somewhere, and that somewhere that you start is the first main stone, which is a cornerstone. Now, there was an advert many years ago about having an uncle in a certain business, and the idea there was that if you have a relative who's working in a particular shop, then that relative can give you a nice discount or show you the best furniture or whatever it is that you're wanting to buy. And so it's like you've got an advantage by being related to somebody who's in the business. And we have an advantage by being related to the creator of heaven and earth. We're part of his family. And that advantage is that we don't have to face life alone. We have this safety net and his loving arms around us at all times. Psalm 55:22 says it this way in the TPT. So here's what I've learned through it all. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord, and measureless grace will strengthen you. So we are strengthened by knowing that this is all available to us. The creator of heaven and earth is rooting for us. He cares about us. He loves us. And my favorite scripture that you can probably put on my tombstone is Philippians 4. I used to focus on verse 6 and 7. I now have expanded it to verses 4 to 8. So here is Philippians 4, verse 4 to 8, TPT. Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let your joy overflow, and let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faithful request before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. And so, with the authority that Jesus puts at our disposal, as in Matthew 28 verse 18, and the peace and joy that we can experience, as in Philippians 4, 4 to 8, let us shine our lights.